this is why consistency versus perfection or intensity, like you said, is going to win every single time, because we have opportunities every single day, every single week to make progress.
So if you work in sales, the hardest part of the job is not knowing what to do. It's doing it consistently, showing up, managing your energy, and showing up even when no one is holding you accountable. So today's conversation is all about sales, follow-up, coaching, marketing, and why the simplest habits are often the ones that separate top performers from everyone else. This is Lending Leadership. Let's jump into it. Today, I am joined by Alicia Dupree. Alicia has spent her career in sales and now coaching busy professionals on follow-up, habits, execution, and her work sits at the intersection of performance, health, discipline, and the overlap between what she does and what we do in sales is bigger than people realize. So Alicia, thank you so much for jumping on with me today.
So happy to be here and look forward to our conversation.
So this is kind of fun. Alicia and I actually went to high school together, reconnected. Although I have appreciated all of your videos over the years. Alicia's great on social media, has always done, you know, just a lot in the social media space and putting herself out there. Great salesperson, great health coach. We connected recently at our I don't even want to say the number.
Yeah, don't say the year. At our 5-year reunion.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, planning a reunion. And like I said, over the years, I've really watched what you've been doing. And I appreciate someone that shows up consistently. And I think a lot of people, whether you're in sales, in marketing, it is really hard to do something consistently. So thank you for always just being a great guiding source and light. Let's jump into what you're doing now. Tell me a little bit about this coaching role and just what is exciting in your world.
Sure. Thank you for that great intro. I appreciate it. That's one of the benefits of social media, is staying connected to people from your past that you otherwise may not have. And so I've enjoyed following your journey as well, post high school, in those 5 years, right? Since we've been out. Yeah. My entire career since graduating from college has been in some sort of sales and sales leadership capacity. And the through line there is that what I've been selling has been very different. What I've been offering has been different. It's been products, it's been services. And I have never once been embarrassed about being a salesperson, because I never felt salesy. I think that is the biggest thing, especially when I'm coaching women who are dabbling in sales for some sort of side hustle or side business they're building, or someone is looking to shift careers into a sales position. The biggest thing I hear is, I don't want to be salesy. And I'm like, I don't want to be salesy either. That's gross. That's icky. We don't want to be salesy, but we need to know how to sell, especially if that is a core component of our job. And so I left corporate America. I was in the technology, staffing, and recruiting space, and then leadership space for about 15 years, all with the same company, which was a wonderful career. I enjoyed that career tremendously. But in 2018, I left that career when I have three kids. My oldest was going into kindergarten. We were moving to a new town. There were no buses. I already had three babysitters helping with drop off and pick up. And my husband and I worked in New York City, and it just wasn't serving our family anymore. And so in 2018, I shifted into the entrepreneurial space, which quite frankly really tested my sales skills, because I was now responsible for earning my own income, creating my own opportunity and career for myself, which was exciting and also scary. The shift into coaching and basically selling my services alongside of products that I'm affiliated with really just came naturally, because coaching was my favorite part of my corporate job. Teaching, training, developing, and helping people hit their professional goals so that it fueled their personal growth. And I think that's the piece that has really bubbled to the top. And it's why I love coaching busy professionals that want to have a great career and want to have a great home life and kind of want it all, so to speak, but they don't quite know how to manage it all, certainly not at the same time. And so that's where I come in the coaching space. And I do that in a group setting, one-on-one, or through digital courses that have been created. So that's a pretty high level overview. Most of my conversation is around health and wellness, but some of that is financial wellness. Some of that's professional wellness, but a lot of it is physical and mental wellness seems to be common themes with a lot of my clients.
That's so awesome. And honestly, it's so needed, I think, in any space. But, you know, my co-host Corinne and I often talk about, especially for women in sales and in the corporate space, there's a higher demand and a different level of demand on working moms. And we tend to put ourselves last. We tend to take care of everybody else. You know, I'm very blessed. I have a pretty awesome partner who is a really big foodie and is just amazing. But that's not the case for everybody. So you're juggling a lot. And I love that wellness. It's not just, you know, how you're looking, what does the scale say, but it's what's going on upstairs. How do you talk about yourself? How are you thinking? What are your goals? So I love that you're encompassing all things with wellness. You know, something when we were talking ahead of time that really stuck with me is that you said that good sales is listening. It's not convincing. And I think anybody really in sales needs to hear that. Like, we just tend to want to make the sale, but, you know, putting on your coaching hat, it's really about listening. And I think that's something, I think people need to listen to that.
Totally. I'm sure there was a case somewhere, but looking back, I really think it's rare that I've ever made someone buy something, like, ever. Usually it's people saying, you know what? I need this. How can I get this? And that only happens by asking really good questions and then getting someone to say, here's my problem, which basically tees up my response, which is interesting. Here's the solution I have. Would you like to buy this option or this option? Would you like to go that route or that route? And they're the ones that says, you know what? I think I need this. I'm like, great. Here's how you buy it, or here's how you get it, or here's the paperwork, whatever the situation was. And so I really don't feel like I've ever convinced anybody to buy something that they didn't explicitly tell me they need. And that is a big, like, there's a big difference between being pushy and salesy and just solving problems for people and getting compensated as a result.
Yeah, that's such a great takeaway for people listening. Like, I think a lot of times, you know, in our space, making cold calls or following up with realtors, they're like, oh, I just don't want to be pushy. I don't want to have that ick factor like you talked about. But when you change your mindset to say, hey, I'm solving a problem, I'm you know, coming to their aid with something that can make their life better or help them, that's a totally different mindset rather than like, okay, what do you want? I got it. I'm going to push this. It's changing your mindset. So is that something that you're working with a lot on your one-on-ones with people?
Yeah. When I actually have a woman right now that I'm working with who's a partner at one of the big four accounting firms, and there's a corporate shift that she's got to go out and get her own business, which has never been a part of her job. She's been in the accounting space and tax space for 25 years. This is like a brand new shift for her. And she is freaking out about how she's coming across to these people. And it's a totally false, like, she's painting this false narrative when she hasn't even picked up the phone yet, right? And so part of my conversations with her are, listen, what problem does this person have? And if she doesn't know, I'm like, you've got to go find out what problem this person has. Let's anticipate. What are some problems that people in this position have? So if we use the realtor example that you mentioned, what are some of the challenges that realtors are facing? You need to know that. If one of your clients is a realtor. Now, it doesn't mean that if I'm talking to you, Rachel, that you have that specific problem, because everyone's got their own unique set of problems. But if I can anticipate, generally speaking, realtors struggle with these five things. And I've got to know how my solution is uniquely positioned to ensure that person doesn't have a problem or can proactively address that problem before it becomes one. And so when I'm talking to somebody, before I go in there and say, hey, Rachel, thanks for taking my call. Here's all the things that I can do. And you rattle off all these features of your fancy, you know, company, which, by the way, is probably very similar to the other 20 people that are calling her that day. Hey, What's keeping you up at night? What are some challenges you're facing? The last time you worked with a partner of mine, what worked well? What didn't work well? And picking, so they go, okay, fine. What do you have? Like, you want to ask so many questions that you know exactly how you're positioned to help that person. And in some cases you might say, you know what, Rachel, based on what you shared, I would love to be able to help you, but I don't know that we're the best partner for you in this way. And that is a difficult thing.
Yeah.
For somebody who's getting paid, if there's a partnership. Sometimes you say, and here's why, because you said this and here's what we do. And sometimes that person's like, actually, no, wait a second. We could fit because of this, this, and this. And now they're the one inviting you in. And you're like, great. When can we start? Or what does that look like? Or here, I'll send over the paperwork or whatever that closing step is, depending on what profession you're in. And so for me, getting really good at asking questions and also disqualifying myself before the person disqualifies me.
There's so much to unpack there. First of all, I love the questions. I mean, I feel like the person who asks the best questions controls the conversation, right?
For sure.
And people love to hear the sound of their own voice. You know, it's like in the words of Hamilton, talk less, smile more, you know, like ask those great questions. People will walk away feeling like, dang, that was a great conversation, when you're like, I didn't really say much. I just asked really good questions. And I love the disqualifying yourself, because I think there's something in our human psyche that if someone's going to do that, the other person's like, well, hold on a minute. Don't disqualify me. You know, they're not used to hearing that. So it's like this kind of moment where people don't know what to do with that. So I'm sure that probably has worked to your benefit more than it's not.
Without a doubt. Yeah. And listen, salespeople, and I'm one of them, we like to talk. We got a lot to say. It is very hard to leave a conversation talking less than the client. And so if you find that you are lopsided in that conversation, you got to reel it in fast and pause and let the client speak. And if you get to the point of that disqualification, yeah, I really do agree that it's a powerful tool. It also, it sets an indifferent tone with the client, meaning I don't really care if I get your business, which is a position of power. And listen, don't get me wrong. I want every single sale possible at all times. It's okay to want that. But I don't let the client feel any ounce of desperation, any ounce of pressure, any ounce of urgency as it relates to me hitting a quarter end goal or a month end goal. I want them to think I'm the top lender in the company or the state or the country based on my lack of need for them to say yes.
Yeah. And it
I want them to say factor. Yes, but I don't need it. What's that?
It builds that trust factor.
Sure.
I mean, if you're just pushing, 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 but you are not really listening to what someone is saying.
Yes, absolutely.
Not trust you. And in this age that we're in, I feel like trust is everything. Your word is everything. So do what you're going to say, say what you're going to do, and then do it. Just do it.
Totally. And make sure that the solution that you're providing is relevant to their need. For example, one of the companies that I work with, I have seven different solutions that can help people with gaps in their health and wellness game. One of them is sleep. Okay. If somebody doesn't have sleep issues, then I'll talk to you afterwards, Rachel. If one of them doesn't have sleep issues, I'm not going to talk about the sleep peptide that works for so many. Because if you don't have sleep issues, that is just noise. And that's sounding like expensive. It's sounding there's no value in it, even though it's a phenomenal product, but only for the person who can't get a good night's sleep. So I need to understand, hey, before I say, here are all my solutions that can help you, it's like, what's the biggest challenge with your health right now, Rachel? And if sleep comes up or energy or you're focused on building lean muscle, I'm making all these mental notes. And before I solution, okay, great. If you were to focus on those three, which is the most important? Why is that important to you? If you could fix that, is that something you'd want to do? or what solutions have you tried before? I'm asking all these questions. My instinct is to just sell, 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 but I need to hold back. So when I say, well, listen, you've tried all these other things, this sleep solution, it's $2 a night. Would you pay $2 to have a good night's sleep? And that person's like, it's only $2. Yes. Sign me up. And I'm like, great. Here's the link. But I'm not having, that conversation if sleep's not an issue. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense. In our world, that would be the equivalent of like trying to sell a VA loan when the person is not a veteran. You just right. wouldn't do that. So this is gold. This is great. I want to backtrack just a little bit because I think it's so interesting how, you know, you started really just in that health space. But you know, how I'm sure you're getting to know your clients so well. So it does, our health is not just how much we're moving. It is everything. It is sleep. It is all of these different factors. Yep. I want to talk more just about that side, because that's, like you said, this is something that you flipped into this coaching, a little bit of a different coaching hat, I guess you could say, but how that has really, I'm sure, transformed your clients' lives, I want to say, because when we try to just fix one thing, well, then something else is the issue, because it's never really just the one thing we're trying to fix. It's all the underlining things that are getting in the way.
Totally. Yeah. And so, I think if we don't have good perspective on what's truly going on and we're just like applying Band-Aids everywhere, mm-hmm. eventually that is an unsustainable solution. And so part of the goal is to really dig deep as to like what is going on behind closed doors when no one's looking, so that we can start the repair work then, because only then can you actually grow. That is a hard thing for people to uncover. And I think that's why in the private one-on-one coaching sessions, it feels a little safer to admit versus sometimes at the workplace or in a group setting even. So
yeah, that really is wonderful. And I'm sure is helping a lot of people to really get to the core of the issues going on. Yeah. And I know when we were talking ahead of time, I would say, I'm sure you work well with everybody, but your ideal avatar is us, right? Professionals, women in their early 40s.
Yeah, juggling all the things. I mean,
this is juggling all the kids and the things, and
I know it's a lot. And listen, my work environment is very different than it was for the first 15 years of my career. I had two kids. I was an infant and a toddler. I was traveling to New York City every day. I'm in New Jersey now. My husband traveled for work. It was crazy. And I loved it. It was hard, but my professional identity is very important to me. And I've always valued being a working mom. Now, the fact that I'm at home right now talking to you and I can go volunteer for my kids' lunch every other Friday is different because I'm not reporting someplace 9 to 5 like I used to. I say 9 to 5. Was it ever 9 to 5? It's like 8 to 6 or whenever, right? Mm-hmm. But it is important for me to help people, namely women, since that is the majority of my clients, that love their job. They don't want to leave. They just want to be able to navigate all the things with having kids at home, having aging parents, having a career they love, and also wanting to remember the Valentine's Day cards and the 100th day of school shirt and all the things that come at you as a parent of, you know, children in school, right? And so collectively, I think we all can agree that when we look back at the end of our life, we're going to wish we had more time in certain seasons of life. And I know that I'm in one of those seasons right now.
Oh, you are preaching to the choir, girl. I love and appreciate that accountability coaching. It's so needed. So I hope someone listening out there, you know, if this is something that you struggle with, we're going to have Alicia's information, connect with her, definitely follow her on social, because girl, you put out some great stuff.
Thank you.
And you know, one of the main things that really prompted this conversation was your follow-up. I had tried one of your peptides, really liked it. And Alicia, you followed up. You said you were going to call and you did. And I was thinking to myself, you know, my loan officers could really take a page out of this book, because I think a lot of times we make things very difficult because we have all the things going on. But we don't need to make things difficult. We need to follow up. When we say we're going to follow up, we need to be true to our word. But why is that so hard in our world right now, in our day and age? Why is just following up so hard? Do we just forget?
Yeah. I mean, I think, first of all, do you have some sort of system that helps you? Because winging it has, at least for me, never works. I'm like, oh, I just talked to Rachel. And I look back, I'm like, oh my gosh, that text was 7 months ago. How did 7 months go by quickly, right? And especially in a sales role, you're balancing, you've got existing clients, you have past clients, you have clients that you're trying to get, hopefully they're future clients, and you're navigating all of that. And you've got to have some sort of system that allows you, and it can be pen and paper, it can be a fancy CRM, anywhere in between. It's less about what the system is and more so that you're following one, right? And then it's really important, if you think about, especially in a loan officer, if I'm a client or I'm looking to partner with a loan officer, I need to make sure they're going to do what they say they do, follow through on their word, like you said. So if they're telling me, hey, if I don't hear back from you by Friday, I'll follow up with you next week. If they don't follow up with me next week, how do I know, even if I don't answer, even if I ghost them or I'm never going to use them, they did what they said they were going to do. And that's important because if I'm going to partner with them, if I'm going to refer clients to them, if I'm going to use them for my personal loan, I need to make sure they're going to do what they say they're going to do, especially when it comes to a transaction as significant as a home purchase, right? Or a purchase of commercial real estate. Like, it is critical that they do what they say they're going to do. And it's important to be, when it comes to follow-up, there's a difference between being inauthentic and intentional. So I am very intentional. Like when I followed up with you, I was intentional with that follow-up because you at one point had said, this is a gap I have. I'm not ready to buy it right now, but I might be someday. Well, I didn't call you the next day. I didn't call you the next 7 days straight and force you to buy it. I reached out at a reasonable time, 30 days, 45 days, whatever the situation calls for. I put that on a follow-up sheet for that day. And I reached out to you intentionally, but authentically. And I think that's key. Hey, it's been a month and a half since we last spoke. At the time, you mentioned you were doing this, this, and this, or you were trying this solution. How's that been working for you? Or how was the trip to Disney, right? I'm remembering parts of that conversation, again, as another indication that I was listening when we last spoke. And I'm just checking in. Fill me in. What's been going on since we last spoke? Yeah. Whether or not you respond to that, that's my follow-up. And it sounds different for every single person.
Well, and the authenticity in it and just bringing something from the last conversation into that follow-up, that's huge because I think a lot of times people just aren't doing that. And I think the really in any follow-up, anytime you say, hey, just following up, like that's not a follow-up. I feel like that is just something people say, just following up, followed by nothing. There's really no relationship building there. There's that's not a follow-up. So I think we need to just get that part. We just need to get that out of our vocabulary.
Yeah. And using the word just, I think really undermines what you were doing as well. Yeah. Yeah. And when possible, I use my voice. I use social media a lot. I do, but copying and pasting a standard follow-up email, like, think about you as the buyer in any situation. You can tell when someone's copying, pasting something, or maybe you've been hit up by someone in high school. Hey, girl, hey, I'm doing this new thing. Like, it's like, I know that you just copy and pasted that. Show me there's some effort there, right? Even if the bulk of your script is the same, that's okay, because there's only so many ways you can follow up with somebody. You can have the wording that works for you, but you've got to spend the extra 30 seconds personalizing it. Otherwise, I wouldn't even do the follow-up because it's going to just go in the same pile as every other person that is copying and pasting some message. That's what feels completely inauthentic. And that person is rarely getting my business in any regard.
And usually that copy, that wording is pulled right from ChatGPT that they didn't even put any effort into it.
Totally.
You can completely tell. You know, it's so funny. I had mentioned Alicia and I were working on our reunion together, and mostly everybody in our group was very into the voice memo. Some people more than others, but you and I definitely. I am a big fan of the voice memo because I feel like over text, you just lose tone. You lose that feeling where, how many times does this happen where you're like, no, that's not how I meant it. You're misreading my tone. I don't mean it like that. But when you speak it, and number one, you can also tell when somebody has read it because it disappears. So you're like, oh, okay, they received my message. Over a text, it is what it is. You're left with it. Did they understand my tone? Did they get what I was putting down? So it was pretty funny to see the text message thread. Like sometimes I'd have this book to catch up on, but it's fun. And I really do. If you are not doing that, listeners, loan officers, realtors, if you're not doing the voice text, you got to start. It's such a win.
Yeah. And I will say that's where the system comes into place because it does disappear. If you do a voice memo on Instagram or Facebook, you can see that voice memo. You can see if it was played. But if it's on a text message, then it just disappears. And then when you go to follow up, you're like, wait, did I text Rachel or not? And I've lost track of that sometimes. And it gives you an opportunity to be human. I have been leaving a voice memo and I've stumbled, I've sneezed, I'm like, where am I? Like, wait, what am I even saying for a second? And it gives me an opportunity to be human, and I'm not spending all this time crafting the perfect email and worrying about my use of punctuation marks and an emoji. Like, no, be a human.
Yeah.
Let them hear your voice. It will at a minimum stand out from all the other, you know, emails they're getting. That is an opportunity to diversify a little bit and to distinguish yourself from all the other people vying for that person's attention.
And let's face it, distinguishing yourself is branding. So I have a lot of people that are constantly asking me, I want to brand myself better. Well, start with doing videos of your face. Start with doing voice memos with your voice. And I love that you said the human factor. It's so funny. I'm going to forget his name. I think it's Adam Mossery, who's the head of Instagram. He's been putting out a lot of posts lately about the human factor and how it's so important in this AI-driven world. This is something I'm talking a lot about lately. In this AI-driven world where everything is perfect, everything is polished, that is the signal that it's fake, that it was crafted and manipulated and curated and all the things. But when we just come and show up as our authentic self, as imperfect as it is, that's what people want. That's what builds the trust.
Absolutely. So. And I think that using – if you are not partnering with ChatGPT or another tool, like you mentioned, for – I don't know if it's organization, for focus, for ideas, almost as a digital partner for your business, you're missing an opportunity. But your point, if you are just copying and pasting, that is the absolute wrong way to handle. I mean, I talk to busy working moms all the time. And so if I'm looking for some content, I might say to ChatGPT, hey, give me 5 topics that a busy working mom may need to hear right now. And it'll rattle off a couple. And I'm like, perfect. That's all I needed. I just needed an idea on where to start. I got it from here. It's like, tag, like, I'm in. I'll take it from here, right? And so I think that there's an opportunity to use a tool like that as a partner without losing that human touch. That's so, so important.
So important. Absolutely. And hey, I would be remiss if I didn't say that I use ChatGPT all day, every day, but it's that human factor, putting yourself into it. Don't let the fancy thinking machine do all the work. You have to put yourself into it, or then we become just, what's the word I'm looking for?
We're like a commodity because
I can't think of the word I'm looking for. Yes, we become the commodity and we can be replaced. So
yeah, because other people are using the same prompt.
Yeah. So yeah, it's really important more than ever. Alicia, this has been a great conversation. You know, I really feel like that consistency beats intensity every time. Consistency, being authentic. I feel like that's one of the main themes for today. You know, if someone is listening and you are a professional, you feel stuck in any way, I encourage you to reach out to Alicia, or like I said, follow her on all the things. We'll have that everything tagged below. But is there any last piece of wisdom that you want to leave our listeners with, or any last tidbit that we haven't covered? Covered a lot.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a great conversation. And I could riff with you on any of these topics for hours. So I know that we've just scratched the surface. Just one thing I'll say about consistency is that, and I find this a lot with salespeople, we're like all or nothing people. It's like, we're going to go 100 miles an hour or zero. And it's okay to do a little bit some weeks and more another week. This is why consistency versus perfection or intensity, like you said, is going to win every single time, because we have opportunities every single day, every single week to make progress. And this is, I mean, this is a unique time of year to talk about this, right? So we're in the first part of a new year. Obviously, everyone sets these massive resolutions. I think it's the 9th of January is technically National Quitters Day. I think that people make it about 9 days.
That's it? Oh, man. That's because brutal.
we're spending so much time being perfect. Like, I'm going to work out 7 days a week. Okay, well, that feels like that's awesome. And I love when people set big, exciting goals like that. But is that sustainable? And what happens the first day you don't work out? Do you throw in the towel? Do you say, I'll start again Monday? Like, that mentality is lethal, right? So I would say, in your quest for any sort of sales goal or any sort of, accolade you're seeking or any goal that you're chasing, whether it is sales related, health related, it's something with a relationship you're trying to build or rebuild, some is better than none. So if you aren't as active as you could be, if you didn't make as many prospecting calls as you wanted to, some is still better than none. So don't wait for it to be perfect. Be consistent with the things that you can control, which is largely the output that's going to, over time, compound and get you the results you're looking for. So just the one thing I wanted to add about consistency, because I call myself a consistency coach, and a lot of people, the minute they mess up, they're like, nope, I'll start again at a future. I'm like, no, just start right now. Like, no big deal. Just get back up. Right. So that I think might be worth diving into a little bit on this call, or, you know, a future one, hopefully, if there's an opportunity to chat again. But thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to see and welcome any feedback. If anyone takes anything from this and is able to turn it into something great, I would love to hear. Collecting wins from clients or virtual friends is what keeps me going. So thank you.
I love it. This has been great, Alish. This is awesome. And I really 100% agree with that last mention of consistency. We can be so hard on ourselves. It's easy to give the advice, but for ourselves, we can be so hard on ourselves. So this has been wonderful. Guys, don't forget to like and subscribe to Lending Leadership so you can stay tuned with all these great conversations we're having. And we will link Alicia's website. You got to check out her website. It's really fun. And definitely on social. Alish, thank you. See you next time, everybody.
Bye.